So hi, welcome to Grown Ups Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Sam,
Sean,
Gabe,
and Sky,
and we're Cheem.
And we have some questions to say about the upcoming EP, Fast Fashion. So congrats on that, by the way. How are you guys personally feeling about it since at the time of recording? It is not announced yet.
Excited to announce it. I mean, I think it's, we can, I think I speak for everyone. I say it's like our best work yet. So we're really antsy for people to just like get their hands on it and be able to hear it.
Hell yeah. And the response to the single, Fake Fans, has seemed to have gone over pretty well so far. Been seeing a lot of people talking about it online. Song rips.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to go out on a whim and say you guys didn't sit on this one as long as you did the last record.
No, we
that's
did
good.
Not.
That's good. Hell yeah. Well, the YouTube rips.
EP was immaculate. It definitely is like your best work, which is crazy because every time you put out shit, it's always like, oh my God, they did it again. But it's like, you guys just keep one upping yourself. It's awesome.
No, thanks. We're approaching a very dangerous ceiling.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Can they keep getting better with each release? I guess we'll find out. GMZ.
It's good. It keeps our haters tuning in too because they're like hoping we'll fall off.
Yeah.
But we never will.
Ever. So is there any meaning behind the EP title or cover art?
Yes, absolutely. Honestly, it's kind of a funny story. Sam, can I go into this, Sam? I guess I can. Yeah, everybody knows they're a scam artist. Okay, I'm not going to say the name. But basically, we were working with a person who was in like a kind of consultancy role. And they were giving us advice on like what we should release next. And at first, it was like one single. Then it was two singles. And it was, oh, you should do an EP. And it was just one of these things where it was just like they were basing it on like trends and stuff that was happening, you know, in the industry. And it just kind of made me feel like, you know, it's like we're just kind of trying to like shit out this EP like as quickly as possible. Like for what reason? You know what I mean? Like, thankfully, we have a backlog of songs to pick through. So it's not like, you know, it's not like we just like came up with this on the spot. But I wanted to call it Fast Fashion because it seemed like indicative of like, I don't know, like the culture at this moment where like everything's kind of throw away and trends seem to cycle like almost like too fast for the average person to keep up with. And the same goes for music. So yeah.
To add to that, it's funny because a lot of these songs are, I'm sorry to also disclose some secret Cheem info, Sky. There is a SoundCloud playlist that is public, and that's why I can say it, that has basically every instrumental from the Cheem Vault. So like you can go on SoundCloud right now and find a bunch of demos that we have not even wrote further on. And we kind of use that as like a building block for a few of the tracks on this EP and for whatever comes next. One fun thing that Sky and I arranged in our Discord was we essentially gave people in the Discord like a few of the songs to say which one's really, you know, moving you or speaking to you, and that kind of helped us judge what songs to actually make vocal demos for. And some of the songs off this are from that, so it's like it's almost like there's like a bunch of stuff that's like throw away that you're just kind of picking and manipulating what's the best thing from that collection of music.
Gotcha.
That's kind of how it's built.
So you guys kind of built the EP with the input of the fans, is that what I'm getting at?
Yeah, more or less. I think it was, there's probably only one track on the EP that wasn't on that playlist. And I think there's people in our Discord who've probably heard some version or another of like most of the songs on this EP. And I think they'll still be surprised and impressed by the final versions, but it's kind of cool to know that like, you know, the inner circle of Cheem fans got to sort of play a role in like shaping what we're doing going forward.
That's fucking awesome. Is that something that you guys want to keep going, or was it just like this EP and then we're going to go back to doing our thing? Or have you not even thought that far? That's okay too.
We would entertain it in the future. I think we would do it in part, but there's just stuff where it's like we have it in our back pocket and nobody else has even heard it. Like it's not on the playlist and we're kind of just like, yeah, I mean, this is the shit. Like this is good stuff. Like we don't even need to like ask people because it's kind of like based on the data we gathered from doing this the first time. It's like, all right, well, we know people are gonna fuck with this. Like this is just next level, you know, shit.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, the post fast fashion world is already taking shape, but it's still in the very early stages. But typically with Cheem, we're always like three steps ahead.
Okay, all right.
Gotta keep up.
Yeah, for sure. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the EP?
Yeah. There was just like, I think this one came out of a lot of ideas that were like, you know, some of the stuff on it, the genesis was like a few months, like maybe like 6-7 months ago. And some of it is like dates back to like 2019. So it was really a matter of like, all right, what are the best like 5 ideas that we have that we can just like build songs off of? Like what ideas do we hear and go like, all right, that would be easy to make just a full song out of. And like I had a riff sitting around from 2018. That's the first track. Nate had a riff sitting around from 2019. That's Fake Fans. And then from there, it was like I did the vocal, or I did the instrumental demos. Sam and I bounced vocal ideas back and forth. Very typical Gene process. And then once it gets to the full band, it's like final layer of Gene frosting. And then Gabe takes it and makes it actually sound good.
The Gabe Weitzman touch.
Exactly.
With the spidey fingers.
Oh my God, yeah. That's I need them to mix.
All right.
So what song off this EP took the longest to write, and which one is each of your own personal favorite?
Ooh. That's longest to write is probably Fake Fans.
Yeah.
Like, even though like the thing about it was that like when it finally was like written, like the final version, that was quick as fuck. Because there were so many iterations of it that I was trying to make work in the past, and it was just like not fucking falling into place. And when that happens and you have to like force it, it's just like, all right, this got to scrap it and start over. Cause like you can't have a song be forced. It has to be like effortless. Otherwise it's really easy to tell when somebody like really tried hard to fucking fit like a, you know, square peg in a round hole. So I would say Fake Fans, but technically probably, I don't know, probably Jack Horror, because that went through like a lot of vocal iterations also. Personal favorite is Motorola Razor, though.
Yeah.
I would say my personal favorite is Jack Horror. I feel like my personal favorite has changed throughout the process, but now that everything is said and done and I am playing the EP multiple times on drums every single day, I'm having the most fun playing Jack Horror. I kind of grew up, or like had my adolescence really focused on like prog metal, and in the later years a bit of djent and all of that good stuff, and I've moved in my personal taste away from that in recent years, but a part of me will always love it, and Jock Horror I think harkens back to that a whole lot with a nice chimy twist.
Oh yeah, embracing it just a little bit. Sam, Gabe, favorites?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to answer that question because I had this issue with Guilty Pleasure as well. I was very, I did my very best to convince everyone to make Fake Fans a single one because I felt like it was, you know, the most cheeny track we had on there. And it was like one of those songs that I first heard it the first time. I was like, whoa, we gotta put this out right now.
But
you know, I don't want to tell viewers like, oh, the best song is the one that we already dropped. But that was definitely, it always just stood out to me, and I think it has a lot of power. It impacts our listeners a lot. Like everyone seems to be really into it. There's a pretty strong response, and that's kind of what I predicted. But I would say that and Jock Horror are the two that really excite me being in Cheem. Like I like hear those songs, I'm like, this is why we're Cheem.
Hell yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying one of your favorites is a single. It's a single for a reason most of the time. But you mentioned like convincing everybody that that's got to be the first single. Was there hesitation from the Cheem team that should be the lead single?
You know, when I first heard the demo of the song, I was like not as excited about it as I ended up being once we put it all together and we worked on it a bunch. Cause like to me, like Sam said, it is like a very cheeny song. Like it sounds so much like there's bits of Guilty Pleasure on it. There's bits of Cheem TV on it. There's like kind of, it's like a culmination of a lot of our stuff. So I would say it's cool for that reason. Personally, my favorites are probably Jock Horror or Motorola because they're so intensely in the sound that they're going for. Like Jock Horror is like very much a heavy song. We haven't done anything that is like that on the nose in that genre ever. So like, I think that's super cool. And like with like the dance hall stuff, Motorola Razr, like it's pretty on the nose too.
Hell yeah. All right. So for this question, I want each of you to pick your favorite lyric off the EP and tell us the meaning behind it.
Oh shit.
Oh,
that's hard.
And if you don't know the lyrics, which is totally okay, you can pick your favorite instrumental part.
Boom.
That might be easier.
Yeah, it might be a little bit easier.
Oh.
No, the vocalist can't take the cop out over here and use the instrumental part.
I definitely have a favorite lyric. I'm being put on the spot.
I gotta pull up the fucking lyric doc or something, dude.
Oh yeah, let me pull the lyric doc.
No shame in that.
Oh, I know what my favorite lyric is. All right. In the song Bootleg, which opens up the EP, there's one line that Sky says. I forget the line that comes before is really, really good too. It's everybody want to know what the sauce is. Everybody want another piece of gossip. That one I think cuts deep. What's the line before that, Sky?
I got
that's
it.
The stole the parts but can't make them fit, and your bootleg shit gets smashed to bits.
Yeah, your bootleg shit gets smashed to
fucking
bits.
Awesome.
Everybody want to know what the sauce is. Everybody want another piece of gossip. Every time I'm playing that song on drums and that line comes, I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, right, Sky. There are vultures everywhere.
Yeah.
I would actually probably say the chorus of Fake Fans. I just think it's a, I don't know, it's a really good, it really creates an image in my mind of what we're trying to say in the song. And I don't know, I think it's important to have, it's not trying to be metaphorical. It's just right in your face. Like, what am I singing? And I think sometimes we can get sidetracked with trying to think of like a greater meaning to music when like this song has like somewhat of a, I wouldn't say simple concept, but it's one that can be visualized, and I think the chorus really helps.
Hell yeah.
I think my favorite lyric is from the rap of Jock Horror. There's a line that says, I got no defense mechanism for tenderness, which is like, A, just sums up the like song meaning really well, and B is also like, this feels really good to say. Like, it's like one of those rap words where she's like, oh yeah. All these words fit together real nice. Yeah. But it's just kind of like, you know, it's like the whole song, Jock Horror. It's like, well, what, you know, the song title came first because I saw it on a poster in Spencer's. It's like a strain of weed. And then,
I was like, the reason that's funny is because Sky has never touched a lick of weed.
Yeah. I don't smoke weed. I just think it's a cool name. But then I wrote the song. Like, I wrote the riff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the Jock Horror riff. And then I had to write lyrics, and I was like, well, like what does that mean? I was like, what the fuck would, like, scare, like a typical, like, movie stereotype meathead jock? And I was like, well, probably, like, commitment and, like, trying to be, like, genuine and vulnerable,
yeah,
you know, with somebody. So it's like, you know, I guess, like, the whole song is kind of like somebody like that getting into a relationship with somebody who's very, like, genuine and vulnerable and making them feel, like, real emotions and then fucking it up because they kind of can't handle that, like, or almost like purposefully like self-sabotaging and then regretting that.
Yeah.
And that one line is like real good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Super relatable, right?
Yeah. Gabe, you got a favorite lyric? Oh shit. Cat. Oh,
my cat.
You know, I've heard all the lyrics like so many times from mixing. And I kind of hate them all now, but
yeah. The first time I heard this, I thought, now I really hate it.
No, I think the whole rap on Sky's verse rather on Fake Fans is really great. Just like the imagery of like the posing for selfies with someone and kind of just showing up for a more of a material reason or more of a pretentious friendship. I think it definitely makes me think of like what a music video would look like for that song. You know, you could do so much with like the actual illustrations of what he's saying.
Absolutely. I knew you guys were working on a music video. Was it for that or a different song?
There was one for that, and then we worked on one for another song. The music video for Fake Fans we can't release for legal reasons, but the Charm Bracelet one, which we just finished, will be dropping for sure.
Legal reasons, are you able to get into that at all? Or
yeah a little bit, basically. Okay. Like, well, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this. Oh. There was just like, it was one of those things that we accidentally like You remember like that like theory in The Wizard of Oz where like there's a person like hanging themselves in the background of one of the shots or whatever?
Yeah.
We like accidentally captured like really catastrophic footage. Like I won't say what it is, but we just can't release it. So.
What?
I do think that after the interview, so there's no editing that has to be done. We're gonna. I need to know more.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll let you know.
Okay. All right.
We can't show you the footage though.
No.
I mean, I probably wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'll let Sky explain that one. Wait.
Yeah.
All right.
So would you guys be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this EP?
Well, I can comment that this was right after Guilty Pleasure came out. So one thing that was a positive when we were writing this was we felt like we had an idea of like, the direction for the band. Kind of like what, like, I think that like the, every band always has like a moment where it's like, what is this band? It's like, what is Cheem? And after the response of Guilty Pleasure, we realized that we kind of have a better idea of who we were as a group. And I think this, to me, these songs are just an attempt at making that identity even more confident. Maybe you have some other thoughts too, Sky. There's a lot of shit that happened.
Yes, I mean, I think it was like going into Guilty Pleasure was like, well, you know, people might not fuck with this, but we do, so whatever. But now it's like after getting a good response to Guilty Pleasure, it felt really good to go in, and I think it contributed to the confidence of like making this EP and the way that it sounds stronger, because we were like, all right, well, I mean, we have a fan base that fucks with the Guilty Pleasure sound. Let's like make that bigger and better. And I don't know, it was a pretty straightforward approach. We just like got our shit together and made sure we were doing everything right from the get-go, and every step of the process was like very affirming. It was like, okay, this sounds great. Okay, this sounds great.
I think it's it was kind of like how Guilty Pleasure took how many years, like
3 years. Yeah, COVID contributed to that, but it was probably years.
We took like the things we learned from Guilty Pleasure basically and just condensed it and made it more efficient, and we were able to churn out, you know, albeit it's shorter, but not that much shorter than Guilty Pleasure, and still like the finished product that we think sounds really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
How long? Like we tracked drums in June and I finished the mix like early this year. So
yeah,
it's like a half year process.
I think the short length of the EP like kind of became its own thing somewhere in the process where it goes into all these different stylistic directions. So you're kind of getting this full course in a really, really short length of time, and almost by design it's meant to be listened to multiple times in a sitting, or multiple times in a day.
Yeah,
I think is a really unique aspect of it.
Absolutely. I think that it comes through that like this is you guys, like the CP, like you found what you're doing, because we've been following you guys for so long. Cheem is just a band that bounces all over the place to begin with, but you know, between Guilty Pleasures and now the EP, it's just like you guys know what you're doing, even though the EP is still Cheem in the sense of it bounces all over the place. It is not one sound for the entire EP. It's like this is clearly what the band is meant to be making at this current point in time. So I respect that. Hell yeah.
I think we've kind of lost like some of like, I don't want to say shock value of like us really changing genres. I think people should expect that. And I want people to expect that. Mm-hmm. I want people to not be fazed that we have a really like heavy gent song right after a like garage type beat Jonas Brothers song. Like that should be what you expect from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this EP for the first time? Should you do in the car with friends and dark with headphones on? Is workout EP party EP? What do you personally recommend?
You could work out to this EP.
you could work out to
Bootleg and Jock Horror at least.
Yeah, those two on a loop. I don't know. How would I recommend them listen to it? Honestly, I think like I want them to hear Alone for the first time with like really good headphones on. And then I want them to go out and listen to it over and over again and show every single one of their friends and be like, you got to hear this. You got to fucking hear this. Like in the car, on the stereo, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Cheem's always been a big word of mouth band. Yeah. So I want us to be like that band where people are like, yo, have you heard this? And like, me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Little gem that they found.
I think we have the ability of being a band that you can play at a party with all your friends at, but then also listen to while you're like showering alone.
Yeah,
a party in the shower, man.
Party in the shower after the gym.
Exactly.
Sounds crazy.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's Motorola so... Razor is the shower song.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, we actually themed it so there would be like a G, a T, and an L, like a GTL in the middle of the in the middle of the fucking EP. So the Jock Horror is the gym song. Motorola Razor is like the laundry song. Yeah. Mm. And then the GTL. I'm not sure which one is the tanning song, but we'll figure that one out.
Yeah. Exactly. Fake fans.
Hopefully people hear the EP by like scrolling on Instagram and it pops up and it's on the algorithm caught it. That's the best possible way to listen to it.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your heads. I want you guys to describe this EP for new listeners in three words. Three words each, no more, no less. 12 total? 12 total.
Yeah.
12 total. Yeah.
I'm realizing now how different the tracks are from one another, trying to fucking sum the whole thing up in one or three words. I don't know, I'd say big. It sounds really big. It's a really, really generic word, but I'm going to go big.
It sounds really big.
Glossy. I'm going to say glossy. Big, glossy. It's got a nice sheen to it. It all sounds really professional. And I don't know. These are the worst words. I was going to say fun. That sucks. Fun? Move on to somebody else. Somebody else go.
Big, glossy fun. All right.
Big, sounds like an advertisement for
Instagram.
Can't
bio.
Put on.
Yeah, big glossy fun,
dude. That's your new bio.
I'm just gonna get in so no one steals my words. I'm gonna say diverse, catchy, replayable.
Oh,
nice.
Hopefully,
nice. Yeah. I was gonna say those, but I knew you were gonna say them. I didn't want to steal them.
That's so kind of you.
We help each other.
I say I'm a freaking insane.
That's cool. I would say manufactured.
What?
pop.
What was the second one?
Energetic.
Energetic. Okay.
All right. I'm going to say
manufactured energetic pop.
Yeah, what? Arena Team 2024.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Damn.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Those are the words of somebody who got to go last. Good one, dude. That was good. You had
Viva Las Vegas.
All the time.
And you factured. What the fuck?
Viva Las Vegas. Those are my three words.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the EP?
Just, oh, fuck, this band's awesome. I'm going to tell everyone about them.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I want them to feel the urge to share. That's yeah. Like the urge to not gatekeep.
Yeah.
No gatekeeping.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of the our strong suits in the band are our catchiness within our melodies. And it's like, I want there to be a, you know, I want you to fucking sing what you just heard.
I want people to think, damn, this band is done giving a fuck. we're just so over like genres and labels and people who gatekeep genres and are really, really serious. I feel like in 2024 alone, I've read so many comment sections of people arguing, just bitter arguments over genres. It's like, what is even the point anymore?
Yeah. Spotify hates us for that.
Spotify does hate us for that. Yeah, the algorithm hates us for that. But we don't give a fuck. We're done.
Fair enough. I mean,
I've given up with genres completely, if I'm being honest. I've tried to explain music to Shane, and I'm like, dude, it's fucking alternative, I guess.
Just listen to it. I'm like, but I don't want to.
It's pop rock.
Then it ends there. Ooh, opera.
So much of it, like genres, just like context and like image associated with people. You know what I mean? Like actual music, I find has like really little to do with genre in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like using alternative as an example, it's more so the look of the person than what the music is itself, because like alternative is metal, but then it's also dark pop because they kind of look alternative, both of them. So that's why it's all under that umbrella. It's all fucked up.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I just love music.
That's a good answer. Right.
That's the feeling we want people to get from the EP.
Yeah.
That's I'm going to say that as soon as they finish listening.
Hell yeah. So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this EP, positive or negative?
Well, I mean, the whole thing that happened.
That kind of generated the
EP, which was a person that stole money from us.
Stole is a harsh word.
We got grifted, basically.
We got grifted.
But one thing
that was kind of on us, but
one thing that I've always appreciated about Cheem, and this goes for like Guilty Pleasure and Fast Fashion as well, is that we've had a lot of setbacks as a band, a lot of frustration, but we always kind of find a way to channel that into our art and make light of it, and you know, kind of put a satirical twist onto it, you know, whether it's through our imagery or like the actual songs. So I think a bit of that is present on Fast Fashion too. You hear our jadedness.
Yeah. I think a particular challenge for me personally, I guess, was just like the writing, like how long it took to get these songs right. Like, you know, having ideas around for a long time and just going back to them over and over and being like, what if I did this? No, that sucks. That straight up sucks. Let me just come back to it later. And just like having to do that, like the multi-year process of like a couple of these, like finally getting to where they need to be. Like, I don't know what it was about the timing, or maybe it was like the space we were in as a band. Like part of it is, you know, like touring and stuff and getting to see other bands and getting new ideas and inspiration. But like, it definitely, I'm glad people are getting to hear these songs now, but like, it's crazy to think that like only recently did I finally land on like the right versions of a couple of these songs, because like, I could have forced myself to put them out earlier and they would have been kind of trash.
Ooh, Sky, tell them about the hard drive.
Oh, yeah, that sucks too. Yeah, my hard drive fucking bricked. I was in the middle of working on like some project file and then my computer froze. And I had to like force reset my computer, like the fucking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest thing where you hold like the pillow over the guy's face. It was just that with the power button.
Yeah.
And then it shut down. I turned it back on. I couldn't access anything on my hard drive. And I tried to recover the data and it's just fucking all gone. So like Jock Horror, the bridge of that song, like we didn't have the stems for. I literally just cut out the section from the demo and we just pasted that into the final version because I couldn't get the individual stems. And that is going to continue to be a setback in the future for some other unreleased songs, but we'll fucking burn that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Okay. All right. And I wanted to go back. You guys mentioned them earlier in the interview and then you brought them up when I originally asked the question. So you got grifted and you know the outcome was this EP. Was that the advisor that you mentioned earlier who was kind of trying to give you the trends and what to release, when to release it?
Yeah.
So am I able to ask how you got grifted from that? Because we didn't hear the context, I guess, of it.
Without going too much into specifics, I think that there's a huge kind of like this weird like grifty culture going on where people, they portray themselves as like coaches almost, right? And they really, really want you to like pay for, I don't know, to sit on a Zoom call with them for an hour a month. And it's really easy to see through that sort of thing, but we got fed a different, kind of a different perspective from this person where, oh, I'm going to, you know, open up these opportunities for you. I have like all these contacts, et cetera, et cetera. And
there are other things they offer to do that they just like never did.
Right. Yeah, they were like offered to be our manager. They're like, oh, we'll get you on Furnace Fest. Oh, we'll get you advanced shoebox session. Oh, or you're like in East Asia. Like, and they have like actual, I mean, they were a part of the scene. Like they had scene credits.
But
that, we were like, this is like actually real.
Yeah.
And they know those people. Like that's real. Like it was real. What they have done is all legitimate.
But what we ended up paying for was sitting on Zoom calls for an hour a month and rehashing the same things over and over again and then nothing ever coming from it. And it was basically a big grift.
Yeah. I mean, Bootleg is like partially about them. Like, because I remember we, after like us being like, yeah, we had the two singles and then them being like, no, you gotta do an EP now. Like, that's what's trending. You gotta do that. And just like feeling like over and over again, like, what the, can we decide on something here? Can we move forward with a fucking plan?
Yeah.
We came up with the EP concept. We're like, oh, we'll call it Fast Fashion. That's funny. And we said that. And it basically just got ignored. And they were like, hey, you should call the EP Bootleg. And you should make fake Bootleg cheap merch and a bunch of like dumbass ideas. And like, and it was just like, you know what? I'm going to make a song called Bootleg, but we're not going to fucking change our plans. And the song is going to be about you fucking asshole.
Oh,
there you go.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Get their
ass. And that's actually, that might've been part of what helped that song get finished. Cause that was a riff. That was the riff from 2018. It was just called like the Death Grips riff. And I just had it in my back pocket for a long time. And I was like, I need to be angry about something to finish this song.
Oh, so they did give you something.
Yeah.
They gave us the song title.
They gave us the shittiest EPK we've ever had. I was told three months later than they said they were getting it to us.
Damn.
The tea keeps spilling.
Sorry. If you guys can instigate us, honestly.
The other thing too was another thing. I'll try to wrap this up. But the fucking other thing was that like a lot of the connections they said they had, like, were people that they had worked with in some capacity, but they weren't as close with as they like claimed to be. And at the time, we didn't like we were when we first started working with them. We were a very small band. This was like pre, I think, Guilty Pleasure coming out, or maybe right after the singles were coming out. So by the time we like got to a point where we were actually, we had cut off the partnership already, but then we started like meeting more people in like music and in the industry, and like eventually got to a point where there was like enough, like a small enough degree of separation from us and like the people they had worked with, to where we found out like, oh no, everybody kind of hates this person. It's just like, oh cool, cool, would have been nice to know that. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. They also did get called out for like not paying other people they were working with, so it's like,
yeah,
we weren't the only victims.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So all around, just an awesome person for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. 11 out of 10. The, yeah.
I mean, they have great connections though, so like they are awesome.
Yeah.
Real exactly. Connections.
So they all said. Took pictures, you know. They appeared.
Everybody
pictures.
Knows if you worked with somebody famous, then they automatically love you and would, you know, do you a solid.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's how it works
CC'd
all the time.
On an email once.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. I know this fucking EP right now isn't even announced, but gotta ask, what's coming next for Cheem post the Fast Fashion EP? What can you spill? What other tea can we spill?
We got a lot of tea.
Shows. Can we talk about tours?
Yes.
Can we? Or I'm kind of asking the council.
I'll just say like an overview. Like we have multiple tours planned for this year. In the US
and festivals
too, some festival appearances, some bands we really love, plenty of gigs, but we're focusing on the music rollout for now before we start announcing too much of that. And then beyond that, Sky said something about like the next era of Cheem that I thought was really funny, that the direction that the post fast fashion music is going in, he doesn't want anybody to have any like earthly frame of reference for what this music sounds like just none at all. It's just going to be just post music as a whole.
Post music.
We're getting close. Like, I'm not gonna lie, some of these new
we're just gonna transcend like all boundaries, and from what I've heard, I'm dumbfounded. Like I'm like, where is this shit coming from?
So some of the songs that we have been actually like worked in a studio before, somewhat developed, and I'm really excited to like really rehash those songs and see if they make it out onto this next thing. I think the next idea is just to go big, go home. Like we want to like make this next thing like the biggest and the most confident music that we're capable of making, like our magnum opus. And I know people may say that every single time they drop a record, be like, this is my magnum opus. I definitely felt like that to a degree on Guilty Pleasure. But like one thing that has always been kind of like a hurdle in our band is money, which is shocking. I think that's like every band. So we want to see if we can, you know, get some cool opportunities, get more of a budget for this next release, and like make just like the music that with boundaryless banger music that we're capable of making. And I think we're like getting close to a point where we can potentially do that with some support from a different entity. Obviously it's not real, but that's in my mind. I want it to happen.
We're meant different entity. Yeah. We're gonna get divine inspiration from like elder gods. We're getting support from another entity.
Guy Fieri is gonna discover us, and he's gonna give us $100,000.
No way.
That'd be awesome.
So that's basically the goal right now, is just get Guy Fieri to give us $100,000. If that doesn't happen, we'll probably break up. But yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's fair. No pressure.
I think that's everyone agrees that. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. As long as he's at the next interview, because he's gonna give you $100,000, he just has to be at the next interview.
Yeah,
we'll pull some strings.
All right, appreciate that.
He's making Cheem stocks, you know, like it only makes sense to have our, you know, everyone at puts money into us to be in, and then every interview that we're in.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
So he's the board of investors.
Wonderful. So for this last question, boom, we're dropping the entirety of Cheem in a horror movie. Who is dying first and who is making it to the end?
Sam's dying first.
Yeah.
I think we all looked at Sam.
Yeah. And it's going to be like I overlooked something by accident or I trip on like a cable.
You're like on your laptop or like walking through a haunted house. Like, you get hit with like a booby trap because you're emailing.
Giant anvil drops in your head, cartoon style.
That's great.
I don't know. I feel like I could make it to the end. Not to like, you were Sky. I feel like I could like kind of operate in the background and just stay out of trouble long enough.
Yeah.
Y'all are cunning.
Nate would definitely space out and like leave his phone somewhere and like get kidnapped and nobody would be able to contact him.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I feel like Sean, I don't know. At some point, Sean just might be like, this is more trouble than it's worth. Just fucking kill me.
Yeah.
This sucks.
That's like, a good assessment. Sean would get lured into a trap with like freshly baked bread. Like, ooh.
Yeah, the killer would be like, right, I have the secret for proofing.
You're proofing?
Never believe it.
Proofing. Nice.
Making sourdough or just like a regular white?
It's like a pizza dough.
Ooh.
Nice.
Shit.
Nice.
Hell Sean's a big baker.
Sean loves pizza.
Yeah, I do love pizza. I just love baking in general. That's not why we're here.
Dude, damn right. Me too. I bake.
Let's trade some recipes. Yeah.
No, literally. I'm down.
Oh, yeah.
You made this like pretzel focaccia. It's pretty good.
Pretzel focaccia? I didn't know you could blend the two.
With fresh beer cheese. It's a game changer. God. Gabe's had it. Yeah.
Dude, why didn't I know these things? Why didn't I know
I'll
that
send you the recipe. I'll send you
please.
The recipe.
Please. I'll send you some recipe. I don't know what yet, but I'll find one and I'll send it to you.
I'll put it in my file.
Exactly. There you go.
File, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So as Gloria said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you guys would like to plug?
We have a new EP called Fast Fashion. And if you don't stream it 100,000 times, well, we've got some addresses now, so I mean, we might have to start. I don't know. We have to start doing some things.
Our manager knows where you guys live.
Yeah. And Abby's a dangerous fucking entity.
Yeah.
Watch out for Abby.
Well, thank you, Silas, guys. Been Cheem, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.